Our scripture text for today is Psalm 23. Hear now the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen. As I'm sure you remember, King David, at the time that he was first anointed, that he would be the king, a successor to Saul, was a shepherd, and he spent his early youth and adult time as a shepherd in the field tending the flocks. And then after he was called by God to be the next king, before he actually took over the throne of Israel, he served in Saul's army, and then he served under Saul when Saul was the king. And then he had a disagreement with Saul. Saul became very jealous of David, and so David had to take refuge out into the wilderness, into the desert. And he was persecuted for a long, long time. And throughout this time, it was a time of preparation. God prepared David to become the mighty king of Israel. He prepared David so that David would rely upon God and only God to provide for his every need, and to give him courage, and to give him strength, and to give him wisdom. And we believe that David wrote this psalm when he was in the wilderness at one time. And he wanted to give expression to his understanding of his relationship with God. So David used the metaphor of a shepherd and of sheep, something that he was very familiar with. And because he understood these attributes of a shepherd so well, he then sought to apply these attributes to God that others could understand what he was feeling within his own heart about the nature of his personal relationship with God. He started out saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He begins right there to say that whatever his needs are, he knows that God will meet his needs. I try to say the same thing to you all each week as a benediction that I've pronounced after we receive our offering. That may God meet all of your needs according to His riches and His glory that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. David is saying the same thing here, that it's God who meets our needs. And because he knows that God meets our needs, and God is infinite in power and in wisdom and in might, that God never runs out. His storehouse is never empty. Or as we just said this morning in our prayer, as we quoted the scripture from Lamentations, God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. I shall not want, is how David begins. He says, his shepherd, God, makes him to lie down in green pastures. That's something that's hard for a lot of people to do. It's hard for a sheep to do. If a sheep is in a pasture, and it's a green pasture, and it's plenty to eat, that sheep believes its mission in life is to eat everything it can see, because he doubts there'll be something left tomorrow. the nature of the sheep is not to rest in the provision of what's going to happen tomorrow, but to take care of everything he needs to take care of today. And David is showing here to hear a sheep that is untrusting by nature and has to learn trust can actually lay down in a green pasture. I think God says the same thing to us as when we look to him as our shepherd. We've heard that old saying, sometimes we don't believe it, but it's true, that we want to learn to live one day at a time. We don't have to worry about the troubles for tomorrow. We don't have to worry about how we're going to get by tomorrow. Jesus brings this thought to us in that magnificent Sermon on the Mount in the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of the Gospel of Matthew when he says, take no thought for tomorrow. God knows what your needs are. If he's made the birds of the air so beautiful and the flowers out in the field so beautiful, he's adorned them so well, certainly you can trust that he'll provide for you because he knows your needs even before you do. And David understood this. He leads me beside still waters. Oh, what a marvelous thought that is. The sheep, by nature, is very skittish. And if you had a running water, that sheep would die of thirst before he would drink out of that running water because it would scare him. He would back off from it. A good shepherd, knowing this, would not sit there and beat the sheep, drag the sheep, herd the sheep into the water. But if that shepherd could not find a quiet pool for that sheep to drink from, he'd find some rocks and he would dam up part of that creek or that river to make a quiet pool, that that sheep may drink all that it needs without fear. God understands our limitations. He knows our humanity. Jesus became like we are. He became fully human. He experienced temptations just as we experience temptations. God understands the limitations that are on you and I because we are frail human beings in our soul and in our emotions. But he doesn't reject us. I love how the scriptures say it in one place, that God will not reject a smoldering wick or a bruised reed. But he finds use for all of us within his kingdom. And God is not put off sometimes when you and I are weak or we're frail. Rather, in a loving, gentle way, our God, our shepherd, continues to provide for our every need, recognizing our limitations. I remember in the scriptures telling us about the man that came before Jesus and his son was sick and he wanted Jesus to heal his son. Jesus said, if you have faith, he'll be made well. The man said, I believe. Help my unbelief. And Jesus healed the son. The man can confess that it was too hard for him to believe that Jesus was able to do that, but because of the love he had for his son, he knew he wanted Jesus to do that. And Jesus responded and accepted the person fully, completely as he was, even in his frail limitations. The shepherd leads me in right paths for his name's sake. We're not left to our own devices down here. But God shows us the way to go. He leads us. He's provided for us his word. He's provided for us the church. He's provided for us a nurturing community that encourages us so that we can learn of the will of God and what God wants us to do with our life and what God wants us to do as a church. And our shepherd leads us. We're not left alone. Jesus talks about that we are the sheep of his pasture and that we know his voice and we respond to his voice. And God continues to reveal his nature and his love and his will to his people even today that we can follow him. I love the scripture where Jesus is talking to his disciples. And he's asked the disciples, you know, when we go out into the communities and we minister, who do the people say that we are? And they respond, well, some of them think you're John the Baptist, come back to life. And others think maybe you're the prophet Elijah. And Jesus said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter speaks for all of them. And Peter says, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus replies, blessed are you, Peter, because flesh and blood, that is, human beings, have not revealed that to you, but my Heavenly Father has revealed that truth to you. And Jesus went on to say, upon this rock I'm going to build my church. And the rock that Jesus is talking about is that God delights in revealing to his people who he is, to reveal to us the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And he continues that revelation even today, that by ways that we may not completely understand, the Holy Spirit brings understanding and wisdom and discernment into our heart, into our soul, into our mind, and we can be able to rest in the assurance that we know, but that we know, but that we know that Jesus is the Christ, and he's given us eternal life, and that we can rest in that knowledge, because our God leads us. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. David said that even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You can't improve the translation of the King James because they got it right here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. In Jericho, there was a valley about 4 miles long that they called the valley of the shadow of death. The walls went up some 1,500 feet. It was so narrow at the bottom where they tried to herd the sheep that they could only go one at a time. And it was treacherous. And it was dangerous. And you could fall and lose your life or lose your way. And so when David wrote this, the people understood what he was talking about. There is such a place where there is fear. And you have every right to be afraid. But what does he say? Even though I go through that place where I know I should be afraid, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And what is there about the presence of God that takes away that fear of evil? Because God, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd had two things that he carried with him. One was a rod. That was a defensive weapon. If a wild dog or anything evil would come to attack the flock, the shepherd would use that rod to beat away the enemy. Good shepherds could take that rod and throw it 30 feet and kill a wolf with it. That's how valuable that rod was to them. You remember just a few weeks ago in this series, we lifted up that nature of God, the covenant, redemptive nature of God, Jehovah Nissi. God is our banner. Our shepherd has a rod, and he protects us. He watches over us. He keeps us from evil. He goes on to say that he has the staff. The staff is that thing that we've all seen. We try to make it for the children to have in the Christmas play, but it's a long bamboo or long kind of a rod that's got a crook in the neck of it. And that's what the shepherd used to guide the sheep, to keep the sheep where they were going. And when they got off someplace where they didn't need to be, that's what the shepherd would reach down, and that crook in the staff was used to go under the breast of the sheep so that he could be lifted back up and put on sure ground again if he'd fallen down into a crevice. So David is communicating this thought here that God is his shepherd, and that God has a rod that he's going to protect him. He's also got this staff that he's going to guide him and search for him when he's lost and bring him back to where he needs to be. You've got to think of Luke 15, the story of the lost sheep. It communicates this sense that the shepherd will risk anything to bring one back into the fold. This is the kind of shepherd that David says that God is. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. A lot of poisonous plants grew in Palestine. A lot of briars and brambles. And when they go into a pasture area, the shepherd would go first. And he would clear the pasture of the briars and the brambles so that when the sheep were eating, they wouldn't get cut in the face and in the mouth. And he would rid the pasture of the poisonous plants. And then the sheep could come in and graze and have pasture. And although their enemies were all around them, the things that would hurt them, they could be there and have this table prepared before them in the presence of their enemies. And God has done that for you and I. We're told in the Scripture that we've got an adversary that wishes every form of evil upon us. The Scriptures tell us that the thief comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But God has prepared for us His holy Word that gives us strength and insight and courage and wisdom and understanding about God and about Christ Jesus and about the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's prepared this Word that we can feed on this Word in the presence of our enemy, our adversary, the devil, who wishes us harm. We can feed on this Word and grow and nurture ourselves and nurture one another. Even though we know we have an adversary, we know that Christ is with us and that He will never leave us and that He's given us our Word, that we can feed upon that Word in the presence of our enemies. He goes on to say that, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." At the end of the day, when the shepherd would be making a place to bed down the flock at night, he would examine the sheep one at a time. Some of them would come in at the end of the day with a little cut, a little bruise maybe in the face. He'd kind of put them out of the line so he could come back and he would tend to them personally. He'd have a little vessel of olive oil and he'd anoint their head with oil. And then he'd give them one more drink at the end of the day. And they could drink all they wanted. They could drink their fill. Their cup literally would overflow as a good shepherd would take care of his flock. And David is trying to communicate to us here that God so loves His people that you're all special to Him. You're not just a multitude, but He knows your name. He knows who you are. And that the intimacy that He desires to have with His people is one where we know that it's God that provides a cup that flows and flows and flows, that never runs dry. That it's God that anoints us. It's God who is our healer and makes us whole. It's God who provides for us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. You can just hear David understanding that as he's made God his shepherd, I shall not want, he says. That I'm welcome within God, in the presence of God at all times. We lifted up this thought as we looked at the holiness of God just a few weeks ago and realized that within our sinful state even, God embraces us and welcomes us to where He is. That we can dwell with Him forever and ever. As I think about this psalm, there's one line, though, that I think is more important than any other. And it's the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. All of these things that I've said about the shepherd, our God being our shepherd, we being the sheep of His flock, they become true in our lives. They become experiences in our lives as we come to understand that God, the Lord, is my shepherd. There's a legend that says that in the last century there was a great orator, that people would come from miles around to hear him speak, and he would speak and share in some of the greatest literature that had ever been written in all the world, and people were just amazed at the depth and the range of his voice. And tradition says that at one time he was speaking to a large audience, and by request he recited the 23rd Psalm. And when he was through, the people just came to their feet and they applauded and they cheered wildly. They had never heard that psalm recited in that way before. They asked for an encore. And so again he recited the 23rd Psalm. And again they erupted in wild applause. They wanted another encore. He said, but wait. Instead of me this time, he says, my old pastor is here, and he's retired now, and I'd just like to invite him to come up and let him say the psalm for you. And the old pastor made his way down, and with some help, he got up on the platform, and he looked out at the audience, and he began, the Lord is my shepherd. And he shared the 23rd Psalm. And when he was through, a hush fell across the room. Women were weeping. Men were moved. And there was a reverent silence in the entire hall. And after a long pause, that famous orator got back to the center of the stage and he said, my friends, in case you don't understand what has happened here, the difference between how I gave you that psalm and how my pastor gave you the psalm is I know the psalm. He knows the shepherd. Some time ago, a young mother was teaching her son, who was dying of cancer, some scripture that he could hold on to. She began to teach him the 23rd Psalm so that he could recite that psalm and that psalm might bring him some comfort in his distress. One of the ways that she taught him that psalm is she began with the five words in that opening verse, the Lord is my shepherd. She let him have each word become a finger on his hand, beginning with his thumb. And his ring finger became the shepherd. And she taught him that when he got down, the Lord is my shepherd, to grab that ring finger with his fist with his other hand and hold on to it. The Lord is my shepherd. And she taught him that psalm. And when he died, they found his hands just that way, with his hand around that ring finger, knowing that the shepherd held him in his arms for all eternity. I invite you this morning to take pause in your own life. Do you know the psalm? Or do you know the shepherd who loved you in this way? Jehovah Raha, the Lord is our shepherd. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we journey together through this series of trying to grasp that which has grasped us, to lay hold of that which has laid hold of us, as we try to understand your covenant redemptive nature, we confess, Father, that it is difficult. We marvel at the generosity that we see, the affection that we see, the love and the tenderness that we see in this psalm. And we confess, Father, that there's a part of our life that wishes it were true in our own life, that we would know you that way, that you're the one that provides for us, that you're the one that restores us, that you're the one that leads us, that you're the one that protects and comforts us. You're the one that gave your life for us. Father, I ask this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would penetrate every heart, every mind, and bear witness to the reality that you are our shepherd. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.